This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This BFM Budget 2021 special is brought to you by Marsing.
Good morning. This is BFM 89.9, 9:18 in the morning. And the KLCI is still rebounding strongly. In fact, still gathering momentum after Friday's gains, up 7.7% to 1,530 points.
Yeah, so we are going to ask the next question. Who are the winners and losers from Budget 2021? And the person to answer that question is on the line with us, Jeremy Goh, Head of Research at Hong Leong Investment Bank. Now, Jeremy, very quickly, what is your view of Budget 2021 and its potential impact on markets?
Hi, morning, guys. So, well, the budget is an expansionary one with a deficit target of negative 5.4% of GDP. And this is within our estimated range of 5 to 5.5%, which we had earlier predicted. Now, the economy still remains on a fragile recovery path, so government expenditure will increase by about 2.5% next year to $323 billion. About 73% of this goes to operating expenditure, 21% to development, and the balance 5% to this COVID fund. Broadly speaking, Budget 2021 is very much a counter-cyclical pill to combat the COVID-19 headwinds. Unsurprisingly, quite a number of measures were an extension or a higher allocation or an improvement from the previously announced Prihatin and Penjana stimulus initiatives. So I think overall, in a nutshell, the market may read budget with a positive bias.
So Jeremy, there was no windfall tax for the glove makers, as speculated, but instead a $400 million contribution by the top four makers. Was this a positive surprise, and what will be the impact of this contribution on the earnings?
Well, I personally would read this contribution in a positive light, as this gesture of goodwill should reduce investors' concerns on the previously feared windfall tax, which now seems to have taken the back seat. On an after-tax basis, we estimate that this $400 million contribution would shave off roughly about 2 to 5% off next year's earnings for the big four glove players.
Yeah, and if we look at other expenditure, right, there's going to be $15 billion set aside for infrastructure, and I think there's a resumption of the high-speed rail later on. Who do you see as winners in this space then?
Okay, we do sense a revival of construction news flow this time around, unlike the past two budgets. If you look at the macro numbers, higher development expenditure by 38% augurs well for the construction sector, as their nominal GDP is highly correlated to this development expenditure. We are pleased that the there's a lot of new yet to be implemented mega projects such as the HSR MRT3 being announced. Specifically on your question regarding the winners of HSR, I think it's still in the early days to pinpoint exactly who this will be. But if you recall, back in early 2018, before the HSR was put on hold, the PDP for the northern stretch was awarded to the MRCB Gamuda joint venture, while the southern part went to a JV between YTL and TH Properties. Now, even if this PDP model is not adopted this time around, there should be enough work packages to go around, benefiting your usual construction players such as IJM, WCT, Suncon, Gadang, amongst many more. Also, the piling players would be getting a slice of the action, while you have those construction consultant names like HSS, which was previously appointed, also stands a participating chance in this.
Yeah, Jeremy, the government has also imposed excise duty on vaporizers and more enforcement on illicit cigarettes. Is BAT the winner here?
Well, okay, we don't actually expect this to significantly drive volumes back to the legal cigarette market. If you look at a popular vape brand called Relax, for example, we estimate that their usual pack of 3 refills sells for $38, and that would increase by 6%. Right, so we don't think that this quantum is sufficient enough to drive vapers back to the legal cigarette market, not to mention that vaping and traditional smoking are really not direct habitual substitutes. Right. Also, bear in mind that the illicit market accounts for 70% of industry volume, and of this 70% sum, only 5 to 10% is vape, and the rest of it being traditional illicit cigarettes. Having said that, we do applaud the various steps announced by the government in the budget to curb the illicits, but this may take time to bear fruit.
So aside from the construction sector and some of the building material guys that we mentioned earlier on, Jeremy, who are the other potential winners from Budget 2021?
Well, there are quite a number of slight positive sector winners here. Healthcare does look like a beneficiary. On the stock specifics within this sector, pharma and others, logistics may benefit from the higher allocation to MOH, whilst fill and finish vaccine segment could benefit from the COVAX program and pneumococcal vaccine. Then we have the private hospitals, KPJ and IHH, which could benefit from the several medical-related individual tax reliefs, which may encourage substitution to private hospitals. Property also looks like a slight beneficiary from the stamp duty exemption for first home buyers on houses up to $500,000. However, do note that the ongoing HOC campaign is already providing this exemption. Then we also have this Shop Malaysia Online initiative, which is a positive for courier players like Post and GDEX, noting that these players are already benefiting from the substitution to online shopping due to COVID.
And Jeremy, I have to bring the conversation back to the glove guys. And you did mention that there will be some trimming in terms of their earnings next year for this $400 million contribution. But is it still? Are you still overweight on this sector?
Oh, yes, we are. We are. Like I mentioned before, I think that it's good that this the windfall tax didn't happen, and the way we read it is that the $400 million contribution removes the fear of this windfall tax happening. And I think a price to pay off 2 to 5% of your earnings it's a number that's worth paying for.
Now, in terms of losers, Jeremy, which ones? Obviously, there's going to be a lot of fallout, but which are the most distressed sectors going into the new year?
Okay, we didn't really particularly see any significant losers per se. But however, if we were to look at maybe some slight negatives from the budget, that would perhaps be the banking sector. The target repayment assistance to the B40 and the microbiz with loans up to 150,000, you know, this is a slight negative for the banks. Nonetheless, the impact should be minimal as it's not made available to all individuals and SMEs, unlike the first moratorium. We believe that any MFRS 9 related day one modification loss from this move will largely be offset by the unwinding of modification gains from the first automatic loan moratorium.
And do you think car sales can actually continue to show stellar improvement, considering that there was no sales tax extension, though, for this sector?
Yeah, so car sales should continue to do well for the remainder of this year. However, looking ahead into next year, if COVID headwinds are still there and we don't get this SST reduction / exemption, then, of course, the TIV numbers may start to ease off.
And finally, does Budget 2021 change your investment strategy and your top picks then?
So overall, no significant change to our investment strategy. This continues to be an uncertain time with COVID cases on the rise again. And of course, we have this new economy, which is one that will go on the occasional off mode. So really, our top picks are a combination of the defensives, names like Tenaga, TM, MQ REIT. We also have put in a few recovery plays, like the auto names, MBM Pekka, Lee Hien, and Focus Point. We continue to like these so-called pandemic beneficiaries as well, the direct ones being Top Glove, and perhaps a bit more circumstantial ones like Bursa. Lastly, we also have some value names in the picture like Armada, Sunway and IGM.
Okay, Jeremy, thanks so much for your time. That was Jeremy Goh, Head of Research for Hong Leong Investment Bank. Now, yeah, interesting. But he did mention quite specifically the direct beneficiaries of the pandemic, which are the rubber glove guys, right? And we know that Kosan, Top Glove, Hartalega and Supermax have been identified as the four companies that are the biggest to contribute to the $400 million fund.
Yeah, Top Glove told Edge that it's donating 185 million. Supermax is 75 million. Kosan confirmed it will be giving 50 million, while Hartalega will be adding 19 million. I think initially the markets were very concerned that this windfall tax would eat into their profits. And the difference, of course, windfall tax is a year-on-year event versus this one-time contribution. So a little bit of a breather there for the glove sector. And it's still, of course, the foreign fund managers, darling, even the local fund managers, because this is all about scarcity value, right? This is one sector where you can really see earnings growth, and average selling prices still seem to be robust and strong, despite the fact I think everyone expects a vaccine in next year. So as across the board, share prices are all up this morning.
Of course, our Top Glove is at 865, so Max 1004. Of course, our Comfort Glove 458. And the big entrant there is AT Systemization, 15.5 cents, up by 20%. They're going to be going into rubber gloves with LKL.
So is Marsing, which is up 4% this morning to 1.02 ringgit. I think they are guiding that in the future, gloves might be as much as 25% of earnings. So even if you weren't a glove maker, you would want to be one today.
When you can't sell houses, you sell gloves. Okay, 9:28 in the morning, we'll come back after this with the 9:30 news. And then after that, Shazana Mokhtar with P. Gunasegaram on Pressing Matters, BFM 89.9.
This BFM Budget 2021 special was brought to you by Masing.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.